Hello, I'm Georgina Robinson.
And I'm Tom Deason.
Welcome to the Rugby World Cup Daily. Coming to you from Japan every day throughout the 2019 Rugby World Cup.
Hello, rugby readers. My name is Tom Deason and I'm joined with Georgina Robinson.
G'day, g'day.
It is Wednesday evening in downtown Tokyo. We are standing outside the Atsumi and Sakai law firm, having just waited around for the best part of 4 hours for Reece Hodges' disciplinary hearing to finish. There's been some major breaking news in the last half an hour. What is doing, G?
Reece Hodge has been suspended for 3 weeks. He will have no further involvement in Australia's pool campaign. He will be available again for the quarterfinals. Australia has 48 hours to appeal the decision, and they have not yet decided whether they will. I think, Tommy, in the interests of, you know, real news and sticking to facts, we should go through the World Rugby decision.
Yep.
There's no doubt that the decision has been met with shock in Australia. It is being couched in many cases as the correct decision in the Northern Hemisphere, but with the caveat that the Samoan players who've recently been cited from the Russia game could be in a spot of bother. So, the first salient fact is that World Rugby rejected Australia's argument that the tackle did not meet the red card threshold, and they said it was an act of foul play, which was reckless rather than deliberate, that the act of foul play was a high tackle, that there was contact with Pathele Yato's head, and that there was a high degree of danger. Now, under the dangerous tackle framework, if it's a high degree of danger and a high tackle and contact with the head, that is an automatic red card. There is just no if and but about that.
And just to fill the punters in, Reece Hodge wasn't taken off the field, not even a yellow. The TMO had a quick look at it, and it was just good as Wallaby Gold play on at the time.
It was, and then it was referred, and the siding commissioner found that it did meet the threshold for a red card and foul play. Now, the mid-level entry point under mandatory sanctions, which were introduced 2 years ago and have been in operation since then, is 6 weeks. That could have rubbed Reece Hodge out for the rest of the campaign.
Literally.
The committee found that they saw fit to reduce that, given Hodge has a clean disciplinary record, he conducted himself well in the hearing, and he is of that famous cliche good character. What do the Australians think, Tom? What can you tell us about how the Wallabies reacted to this?
Well, I mean, obviously they would have had their backs against the wall in this meeting once it was determined that it was 6 weeks, you know, and character aside, you know, they argued that Reece was of good character, understood that he's pretty much only had one yellow card in his career in a Colts game. So his, you know, on-field discipline is excellent. There are a number of things that the Wallabies did argue, though. They argued that Reece wasn't looking at Yato when he made the tackle, and he was trying to avoid a head collision.
By turning his head.
So that was one of the key arguments they made. They argued that it was a soak tackle that is the phrase of it. And I understand that that just means obviously just soaking up the impact of that rather than him actually going after the bloke. And when you look at it, Reece, you know, did get knocked off a few times but fell on his backside after that tackle. And the Wallabies also did argue that Yato's body height was coming down when there was impact made. So, look, that's what they argued.
And their central grievance remains that they just don't believe it was a red card offence.
Cutting through everything, they'd be filthy. They'd be not devastated. I mean, they do have outside backs options that they can use in the upcoming games, but we are 4 days out from the Wales game, which has been circled on the calendar for the best part of 2 years since the draw came out, and this is an unwanted distraction. As of Wednesday evening when we're recording the podcast, they're unclear whether they do want to appeal the decision, which they have 48 hours to do so. You would imagine that's going to be
super quick. So that takes them to Friday evening, 48 hours before the game. I dare say if you're the Wallabies, as soon as that citation came through, you were preparing for plan B without him. So that's probably what's happened. They have said that they hadn't named, that they hadn't even had the selectors meeting.
Supposed to be tonight, but, you know, now that it's 3 weeks, you know, they'll have two plans regardless. They'll have to pick a team tonight, you would imagine, and announce it on Friday our time.
And let's talk about that. Reece Hodge is a winger. They do have some options in the outside backs ranks. We can immediately put a line through Jordy Patea's name. Not that he would have been handed his debut against Wales in such a crucial match. But who have they got now? Dane Haylett-Petty is probably an obvious one to come in. And they've got Adam Ashley Cooper. Marika Korobetti was a starter anyway. And I have a feeling that they've got Kirtley Beale at fullback, but I have a feeling that given Wales' aerial skills and the tactics they might employ against the Wallabies, I wonder if perhaps moving Kirtley Beale out of the starting lineup and putting Dane Haylett-Petty at fullback might have been one of their options, given his prowess under the high ball. You know, he's viewed as a safe pair of hands. What do you think about that? What else could they do?
Ooh, what else could they do? Well, I mean, it's tricky because they don't have specialist wingers in the side. Like, Marika is the only guy who plays wing only. Obviously, Hodge is not a Mr. Fix-It guy, as he's been touted for the last few years. But, I mean, Adam Ashley Cooper could come onto the wing if they wanted, but I think he would be best suited as a utility off the bench if there is an injury and he can fill a number of roles. Yeah, they're not going to move James O'Connor from 13. Tevita Kurundrani's at, you know, only a 13. Kirtley's on notice. I think I don't think he was particularly good against Fiji. He said he thought today that he thought the back three worked okay. But I just think purely from a not trying to change things up too much, Dane will come onto the wing. I think that's the way they will go. And, you know, he was pretty good against Fiji and Sapporo, so I'm happy for that to be the case.
And I think Adam Ashley Cooper, Michael Checker said at the World Cup announcement that, as well as his profile as a veteran, which is good in a team environment, it's his defensive prowess that you need at a World Cup. And in a game like this, you know, perhaps you could. James O'Connor has played on the wing many Wallabies tests. There are options, but I tend to agree with you that Dane Haylett-Petty could be the straight swap in. But I do think there is a bit of heat on Kirtley Beale, so it'll be very interesting to see what they do about that.
Hottest ticket in town, Michael Checker's press conference on Friday here in Tokyo.
No doubt. Good point.
The Wallabies aren't doing media on Thursday, so they'll have a little bit of time to just sit on that decision. But look, the early reaction is it's very surprising in Australia. No doubt there'll be plenty of reaction on Rugby Heaven throughout Thursday and sort of into Friday's newspaper.
It's interesting to flip it a little bit and go, you know, as egregious as 3 weeks feels, notwithstanding the fact that it is by the letter of the law in the World Rugby Handbook, the alternative, if we want to workshop an alternative, and Australia seems to suggest that if it wasn't a red card threshold, then it met maybe the yellow card threshold, and that is the chat we see, that sure, it's a yellow. If Reece Hodge gets a yellow in the 26th minute for that tackle, Australia trail Fiji 11-7, their backs to the wall, all the momentum is rushing against them. Even if he gets carded, what happens if he doesn't? If he didn't get carded, Australia still go down 21-12. Against them, you know, by the 50th minute. So it would have been really interesting to see. I mean, was that a better alternative if Reece Hodge had just been given a yellow and Australia had gone 14 men down one man against Fiji with all the ascendancy and the strike power?
And we know how big red cards are at, you know, the nature of games. We saw Scott Barrett in the Perth Bledisloe. Obviously, that just changed the whole complexion of that game. But the discussion that will happen inevitably now is the World Cup in general. A precedent has been set, and you can imagine that teams have taken note of that. And, you know, we've got a couple of Samoan guys facing up for a date to be determined, a centre and a hooker, after a few incidents against Russia last night. So how that will be policed, you know, the framework is there, so people can't complain. And coaches and teams have known about this. There's been countless meetings and warnings before the World Cup that this is going to happen. But Look, I don't want to say we forecast this, but you know, whether World Rugby have decided to make a, you know, a stance on Hodge and go a little bit harder early doors. But
I think you raise an interesting point there. I think this is World Rugby absolutely sticking to their guns,
yeah,
and saying this is a framework we have made very clear. It's a principle we've made very clear that we need to stamp out contact to the head and neck. And this is them following through on that. And I do think they will follow through. They will continue to follow through. The only other thing we should mention that Australia probably feel aggrieved about is that Michael Checker mentioned this pre-tournament sit-down with Steve Hines, the head of the judiciary, the head of siding commissioners, and in that meeting with all the test coaches, Hines said that we want to take a common sense approach, and you know, if there are footy collisions, you know, we recognise the difference between, you know, footy collisions and deliberate acts of foul play. Now, Australia feel like this is absolutely the example of an incident in which that common sense approach probably should have seen Hodge cleared, as he was on the field at the time, or yellow carded. I do maintain that a yellow card was... Given Hodge is a winger, and it's not like losing Michael Hooper or David Pocock or even Will Genia, Nick White, I do feel like the alternative, a yellow card going down one man for 10 minutes against Fiji with all the ascendancy and momentum, was not necessarily the better outcome.
Whilst it, you know, there is a bit of hysteria at the moment and Australian fans are obviously upset, let's just keep this in context as well. It would be no different to Rhys Hodge doing his hammy. The guy's missing a game. You know, when you compare that to something like Wales, who have lost an assistant coach on the eve of the tournament because of, you know, alleged betting on rugby games. Whilst it's a distraction and it'll be talked about a lot in the lead up to it, there's nothing they can do, you know. From inside the camp, they might feel very hard done by. I feel it is a conspiracy theory, or you know, however they do react to a decision like this. But look, it's a winger out of the picture. Move on. But you know, we stood here for 4 hours waiting for something to come out. The colour of a stakeout is quite amusing as well. Rod Kafer and Timmy Horan were floating around and
doing their best impression of journalists. But trying not to look like a journalist as well.
Absolutely. Very different to what they were doing
Matty
20
Burke
years ago.
Matty Burke also here for 10 News, swanned in.
Perfect timing.
Like 3 minutes before the decision came out. Got out of the black van with his minders / his producers, hardworking individuals, and, you know, swanned in for the live cross. That was pretty funny too.
Yeah.
And out again.
It started at 3 o'clock local time, and I think we found out about 7:13 exactly that Rhys had left the building. And you know, when a hearing goes for that long, when Hodge, you know, we were told that he might say something outside, but we actually didn't see him and he just raced off, that you sort
That's
of got the picture, the alarm bell started ringing. So there's been a shortage of talking points, G. When are we going to have a quiet day on this trip thus far?
Well,
is that just
it's not coming from Uruguay either, right? Because they've just killed the giant of Fiji. And listen, I mean, Fiji, it has to be said, losing to Uruguay like that, 4-day turnaround, it was never going to be easy with the war of words between the coaches and the chip on their shoulder about Bethele Yato being concussed and taken out of this Uruguay game. Notwithstanding all of that, I mean, Fiji were, you know, a team I thought were going to do really something, had the potential to do something very special, and it is just not panning out that way. And I think, you know, that's a really interesting storyline too.
Gives Australia a nice buffer too, doesn't it? Fiji
very nice buffer.
Not knocking off Uruguay. That means that, you know, Australia and Wales are top of the pool, win a piece. And for Fiji to sneak into the quarters, they would have to beat Wales, which you probably won't see happening. And they would probably have to hope that Australia get done by Wales and then another of the minnows.
We're at 15 minutes and it's been a long day.
It has.
There are, you know, we could talk about some other things, but I think we've given the punters some Reece Hodge Gold.
You wrote about Izzy Folau today, but we're not even going to have time to talk about that man on the podcast. And you know what? Am I upset? Upset?
And will some of the punters be upset? Because don't we cop grief as well every time we mention Israel Folau and file another story on him?
So this has been an Israel Folau free podcast brought to you by the Sydney Morning Herald and The Age and Nine newspapers. I'm Georgina Robinson.
And I'm Tom Decent. You can get us on Twitter at Tom Decent or at GRob with two E's if you want to discuss the Hodge case or anything else you'd like us to discuss in this podcast.
Because we love the punters. We love you guys. We really do. Even the irrational among you and the nasty among you can't get enough of the interaction. Send us some topics you want discussed. Some hot tips for Tokyo nightlife. I won't be any help with that, but Tommy Decent, it's all over it.
Yeah, yet to explore. It's been a busy few weeks.
It has been a busy few weeks. Anyway, we'll talk to you again on Thursday. Thank you very much for listening. Ciao for now.
Sayonara.